and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A grand jury in New York City convenes again Wednesday. It's determining whether to move forward with criminal charges against former President Trump related to payments made to adult actress Stormy Daniels in 2016. Meanwhile, ABC's chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl says the judge overseeing the special counsel's probe into classified documents has issued an order.
Judge Beryl Howell's order is sealed, but the sources who described its contents to ABC News say she wrote that special counsel Jack Smith has made, quote, a prima facie showing that the former president had committed criminal violations by knowingly misleading his attorneys so that they would file a sworn statement that he knew was false.
The Federal Reserve is expected to announce another interest rate increase on Wednesday. More than 400,000 students in Los Angeles were out of school Tuesday. School staff are on strike as they demand better pay. And Japan beat the U.S. 3-2 to win the World Baseball Classic. This is ABC News. Surveillance video shows the death of a black man in custody of sheriff's deputies in Virginia.
Choice words from Caroline Uko, the mother of 28-year-old Ivo Otino, who died in the custody of sheriff's deputies in Virginia.
They are monsters. They are animals.
Otino was brought into the admissions room at Central State Psychiatric Hospital March 6th, wrestled to the floor, pinned down until he stopped moving. CPR and a defibrillator administered, but still Otino, who had mental health issues already, was pronounced dead.
He was handcuffed. He had leg irons on, and he was face down.
Civil rights attorney Ben Crump joining the family and calling for a Justice Department investigation. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The head of Mexico's nature reserve says frost and extreme temperatures in the U.S. may be some reasons why the number of monarch butterflies who spent the winter in the mountains of central Mexico fell by 22%. And less than 3 months after saying she had throat and breast cancer, tennis legend Martina Navratilova says she's cancer-free. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, Go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And it is Tuesday, March 21st, which means early voting has begun.
Yes.
And this is one of those confusing things where most places, I think, have early voting, but you have to go in and look up your address to see if you have early voting. If you live in Madison, you do. If you live in Milwaukee, you do. But if you are unsure on whether or not your area, your town, has early voting, or if you know that there is early voting, you just don't know where to go, if you go to myvote.wi.gov.
Great website.
Great website. And literally you'll get on the first page. There is a gray bar across the top. If you go all the way to the right, there's a button that says vote absentee in person. You just have to put in your address, press search, and then all of the locations in your area that you are allowed to vote early at will pop up. Super easy. Yep. So that is voting absentee in person, which also means early voting in person. There's also, if you've received your absentee ballot, get that back.
Yeah, don't sit on that.
Don't sit on that. But if you've been sitting on it, because there's three questions on there.
That make no sense.
Like, what the hell does this mean? You're not alone. I was up at my parents' house this weekend, and before I left, my mom said, I need you to help me with these. And I swear to God, I've gotten so many DMs and requests for a video explaining what these mean. And, you know, we've had Jessa Nicholson on in the past, who's a criminal defense attorney in Dane County. She came on once in the fall and then once again in January, February?
I think so.
To talk about
Cash bail
and the problems with cash bail. And I'm going to try to do it justice as far as how she's explained this. But now we have to back up for a second because there may be more than three questions on your ballot, depending on where you live. So there could also be municipal initiatives in your area. There could be county initiatives in your area. I think Milwaukee has one on abortion again. And so sometimes there's countywide or even citywide advisory referenda that have no teeth.
Right. And so it's just a kind of taking of the temperature.
Yeah, it's a taking of the temperature. It's a pop, you know, it's like it's showing popularity and support for a certain policy idea. Now, then there's also referenda, like school board funding, and the bunch, like we've talked about that before, that there is some local municipal referenda that is binding
right. When
it comes to funding and right. Stuff like that. So I'm not going to be able to, at least right now, if you ask me individually, I'll do what I can, or at least send you to the right resource to talk about through any of the questions that are on your ballot beyond these three that are on everybody's ballot. But at least on today's show, I'm not going to be able to
sure
necessarily know off the top of my head what it means.
We have Dan from Appleton.
Oh,
on the line who wants to check in about this cash bail referendum. What do you want to say, Dan?
If you're talking to me, this is Joe from Appleton.
Oh, Joe, I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Joe. What do you want to say?
All right. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm usually commenting on the live stream, so it's nice to actually finally chat with you, too.
Oh, Joe! We know Joe. We love Joe's comments. Joe McClear?
That's right.
Nice to finally hear your voice.
Right. Well, a couple of full disclosure, I am a lawyer. So, Jane, I do apologize for the language that you were complaining about and being hard to understand. Even law students don't even understand it. Most of these things are written by lawyers, and that's just what we do. I apologize. But I'm also a Democrat, and I have to say that I am splitting with many on the left because I've actually already voted, and I voted yes on the bail amendments.
Interesting.
I have some insight into this, and I could talk for a while, but feel free to cut me off whenever. 4 years ago, I was on the Legislative Council Study Committee on bail and pretrial release. There were a few state senators. Senator Wangard was on there. There was Jennifer Judge Doro, Jennifer Maxine White, State Public Defender Kelly Thompson, a couple of DAs. And we were there to try, we all pretty much had the same idea. How do we keep the violent offenders in jail awaiting trial while we release everybody else? Like the person who was caught selling weed but couldn't afford a $1,000 bond, we don't want them in jail. We want the ones who could harm their, you know, community or would not show up. We came up with a number of recommendations that, at least in my opinion, would have accomplished a lot of our goals and would have been pretty progressive in helping clean out the jails of the people who shouldn't be there and keeping the violent offenders in there. We put forth our recommendations to the legislature. The legislature promptly ignored it. Didn't go anywhere. A couple of years later, the Waukesha parade happens, and here we go again. We got some more interest into this. Now, the new amendments, they're not great. They may not be even good. The problem is our current situation is just untenable. It just doesn't work. What happens now is a judge can only look at one thing when setting bail. That would be, would this amount ensure that this person shows up for court? That's it.
Yep.
The reason I got involved in this 5 years ago, there was a situation in my area, and this is going to be a little tough to hear, but where a man sexually assaulted his estranged wife, was arrested, charged, and released on $10,000 bond. He then returns to his wife and murders her before he kills himself. The judge was put through the ringer. It's like, how could you let this guy go on only $10,000? But the judge was just following the law. The man had never been arrested before. He had ties to the area, so there was no reason to think that anything else would have been necessary to keep him from to make sure he shows up. But they could not look at the fact that this person was going to be a danger to his family and to the community at large, and then tragedy struck. So these new amendments, again, they're not perfect. You could call them a half measure. They're going to do nothing to clean out the jails of the people that shouldn't be there, but they do give the judges more avenues at their disposal to make sure that violent offenders are not released quick and easy. So that's just my take on it.
No, Joe, I want to actually keep you because I have a follow-up question. We're talking to Joe McClear, who is a listener, but also a lawyer who's giving us his two cents and actually experience with cash bail and this current system in Wisconsin. But, you know, Joe, when we've had Jessa Nicholson on before, I don't know if you've ever caught one of her two interviews. She made it sound like there already is something in place that can hold people if they are a high enough threat that they can be held, but it just puts a higher burden on the prosecution to prove that ahead of trial. Is that true?
That is true. It is true. There is in the Constitution a way to hold folks without bail. The problem is it's logistically impossible the way it's written right now. Essentially, you have a very, very short amount of time to put forth what would be almost a mini trial to prove that this person needs to be held without bail. and I mean like within a week or two, I can't remember what it is, after the arrest. And that could include getting forensic evidence back. That could include getting the witnesses ground up. And there's a hot, and it's a full trial. The full rules of evidence apply, so no hearsay. It's, there isn't a single DA in the state that will ever try to hold somebody without bail under the current rules, because while legally possible, it's logistically impossible to happen.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, it is good to know.
And I think the last question I just have, because I don't know what it's like in Appleton, but I know in Madison, in Milwaukee, the courts are super backlogged right now. And the idea of both the constitutional rights of people being held in jail until their court date, so they're innocent until proven guilty, so we're holding X amount of people in jail until their trial that could be a long time from now, that is both expensive and just the detriment that it can cause to that person if they lose their job, they lose their car, they're not working. And so I guess, how do you counterbalance? Because if it's just up, like, what is the discretion up? Like, if this passes, because this is not an advisory referendum that, like, the third bill that we'll get to and talk about in a second, where it's like, even if everyone votes yes, nothing changes. If this passes, this passes. And so what happens to the discretion of certain judges that's not going to end up, you know, tramping on people's constitutional rights to just be held in jail until their trial?
No, I know. And we don't, I mean, most folks, I think, regardless of your political stripes, would say, yeah, we don't want people held unnecessarily. There's no point in doing that. You're taking up too many resources. The jails are packed. And it's, yeah, right, constitutional rights, you know, you want to make sure they, if they need to be out there to prepare their own defense, they'd be able to do that. And we don't want to hold people just because they can't afford a bail and just let those with resources have more rights. But, you know, and this is a situation where this is not a solution. It's a bit of a trade-off. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's what we result to. I mean, if I'm being biased here, I think the proposals we had 4 years ago were much better. I think right now, absent a more universal statewide look at, okay, how do we get the nonviolent offenders out? It's going to have to come down to the individual DAs working with local leaders, working with local judges, and working with the law enforcement agencies to determine, hey, look, we're not going to push for bail for things like selling weed. We're not going to push for bail for things like, you can name any number of nonviolent offenses and say, okay, we're going to want all these people to be released on a signature bond. You can have conditions of release, but they're not going to be held for even a $100 bond because some folks, they cannot afford that. We want to reserve the jail space for people who we just look at the evidence and say, this person, the evidence is there that they probably committed the crime. We don't have, you know, we don't have the full trial yet. And if we let them go, they're going to be causing a dangerous community. As I said, not perfect.
Yeah.
It moves it one way, doesn't move it enough the other way. But I look at it right now and I see, okay, well, not doing anything right now, at least to me, is not the answer.
And this is my last question, because we only got 2.5 minutes before we go to break. But Joe, is there not an option? Because federally, people can be held without bail, right? Isn't our state cash bail is different than like a federal crime? Am I correct in saying that? Mm-hmm. So we could we could possibly, like, right now, how this came onto our ballot is in the legislature. They passed it for two sessions in a row. So now it's going to voters and it's which will not be able to be vetoed by the governor. But in a different, maybe more cordial environment, this could be legislation that actually gets debated and developed in the legislature. And if it's compromised, could be like actually signed and more thought out than just a yes or no referenda. And so that could be a different avenue than this constitutional amendment.
Well, actually, now I'm thinking about it, not really.
Oh,
because
okay.
Because without the constitutional amendment, the ability of the legislature to actually, even if we had more fair game in the legislature, it's a little more split and we had to have more debate, their ability to make changes without the amendments would be pretty difficult. I mean, I really would have preferred to see the amendment to just try to strip away language from the Constitution, instead of trying to add more, because that would give more leeway to the legislature to have more debate on these issues, to say, okay, well, let's fill in the blanks down here. But without the ability to, I mean, the way the Constitution is written right now, I mean, they can't do anything about, what can be done for bail. They can't do anything about what can be done for holding somebody without bail either. You got to go to the Constitution first, at least at the state level.
Okay.
Jill, I just want to applaud you for breaking down the legalese so brilliantly.
You did it way better than I was going to be able to do it.
That was great.
Well, I hope I got it right enough. And if there are any lawyers out there want to call in, please do.
All right. Well, if anyone has a follow-up, 844-967-2789. We'll keep the conversation rolling after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And do you enjoy spring cleaning? Is that still a thing?
I think it is still a thing. It might be more of a generational thing.
Why? So first, do you enjoy spring cleaning? 844-967-2789. I feel like, why spring?
Why do it in spring?
Yeah.
Well, because I think it's about being able to open up the windows, air out the house. That was always growing up. That's when you take the big rugs outside and you beat the rugs and you air everything and wash the windows. And that was my mother's routine. It certainly was something that she did.
Do you do it?
You know me.
I don't know. You garden a lot. I feel like every once in a while you have like your weekends. I'm like, what are you doing this weekend? You're doing something around the house.
I am not a great housekeeper. I will wash the windows though. That bugs me.
Okay.
So that's something I try and do at least once a year, if not twice.
Because next week is National Cleaning Week.
Oh, I'm so excited.
March 26th through April 1st is National Cleaning Week.
National Cleaning Week.
And I don't know how you poll this, but I guess 82% of Americans planning to do spring cleaning this year. So
wow.
I don't know where that number came from, but
We'll take it.
I every once in a while, like when I have time to do a deep cathartic clean, I will do that. But it takes me, it's because I am someone who doesn't pick up after myself.
Okay.
So things get very messy, and then I have to designate an allotted amount of time to clean. But then when I do it, I do it well.
I mean, do you like down to the baseboards? Do you wipe down the baseboards and stuff?
No, not like the baseboards. But as far as like, I feel like when I get the urge to actually organize and put my shirts in like order of like the tank tops go here and the t-shirts and the short sleeve shirts go here and the long, like the sweaters and the buttons ups and like actually try to make things look like there's some rhyme or reason to the room and wipe everything down. But that's like a commitment of an entire day.
Oh my.
Versus it would be like, oh, just pick up after yourself and do it for 5 minutes and do it immediately instead of needing to put the, like a chunk of time to doing it.
To declutter.
But I married someone who tolerates cleaning up after me, so it worked out.
You found the right man.
That's like anytime there's jokes about women and like household labor, I like nod my head. I'm like, oh yeah, totally. I was like knowing full well that I am the slob. But yeah, what's the most, as far as like cleaning and when you find stuff, because sometimes I always maintain that nothing's ever lost. It's just misplaced.
Okay.
And so what do you think is the most exciting thing you've ever found when cleaning?
I would think money.
I think money too.
Because I know I'm still missing $200 that's somewhere in a book in my office and I can't find it.
Oh, really?
Oh, then this is from years ago. It's driving me nuts.
So money, yeah, money in a pocket is always nice. But I ever feel like it's always a surprise because I'm not like that where it's like, I know that I had this money. Where did it go?
Where is it?
It's more of like, oh, hey.
Oh, great. I have money.
But I feel like other things that were listed in this little piece that I found was something that's been misplaced, like a phone, charger, wallet, keys, something you thought that you lost, I guess.
Okay.
A sentimental item.
Piece of jewelry or something? Piece Photograph, of jewelry. Maybe?
Yeah, like a note, maybe you thought that you card. Cash, old checks, unused, partially used gift cards.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of those. I forgot. I feel like gift cards are one of the biggest scams out there. The amount of money that is spent on gift cards every year compared to how much is redeemed in gift cards every year.
It's shocking.
Is so out of balance.
Yes.
And we have an entire bag of just
do you
gift
really?
Cards that Mike is better at remembering. Because like for one of our, a couple of our wedding gifts was gift cards to like a Barlotta restaurant. And I think we've used those. But the Starbucks gift cards, the Amazon gift cards, that I feel like a lot of those don't end up getting used.
Well, and then they expire and everything.
They can't expire.
They can't expire.
That's not anymore. That was, I remember when they passed that law.
Really?
Now, if money was, a coupon can expire.
Okay.
But if you paid money for a gift card, it cannot expire. It is cash. You can lose it and you don't get it back.
Oh, I did.
But it can't expire anymore.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it is. I think there's other things like if you bid on something in a silent auction, which is discounted. Or, you know, it was given as a gift, but you paid, the company itself did not get that money, right?
Right.
They gifted it.
Right.
The money
to
that you paid went to the charity. That kind of stuff can have an expiration date. But as far as I understand it to be true, if you pay Starbucks for a gift card, it cannot expire.
Oh, that's good to know.
But if you never use it, it might as well expire.
So the lesson here is use your gift cards, people.
Use your gift cards. Use them. Don't save them thinking you're going to use it like on a special occasion. Just when you get it, use it.
And that can be said about so many. Use the good china. Use the fancy candles. Use them.
Just use them.
Just use them.
Don't save them. All right. Well, let us know if you are planning on spring cleaning next week and what's the most exciting thing you've ever used. But otherwise, when we come back, a debate on what child actor deserves a comeback. We saw Kwee Kwan, such a great comeback this year.
Just won an
after
Oscar.
Being Short Round and Data in Goonies, and won an Oscar this year. And I found an article as far as listing some other candidates of child actors who were huge, who we really haven't heard from. But if you have thoughts, what child actor deserves a comeback? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll talk about it when we come back.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A grand jury in New York City convenes again Wednesday. It's determining whether to move forward with criminal charges against former President Trump related to payments made to adult actress Stormy Daniels in 2016. Meanwhile, ABC's chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl says the judge overseeing the special counsel's probe into classified documents has issued an order.
Judge Beryl Howell's order is sealed, but the sources who described its contents to ABC News say she wrote that special counsel Jack Smith has made, quote, a prima facie showing that the former president had committed criminal violations by knowingly misleading his attorneys so that they would file a sworn statement that he knew was false.
The Federal Reserve is expected to announce another interest rate increase on Wednesday. More than 400,000 students in Los Angeles were out of school Tuesday. School staff are on strike as they demand better pay. And Japan beat the U.S. 3-2 to win the World Baseball Classic. This is ABC News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude,
Did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Is that Hook?
No.
Why do I know this song?
You should know this huge book series.
Oh, Harry Potter.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
What is the... I feel like the Hook music sounds similar to that. But yeah, now I hear it. All right. Fun... Here's some no sour haha fun time power hour topic, if there ever was one. What child actor deserves a comeback? And it has, so I feel like if they can't still be acting and like have a, they're just not as famous as they were when they were kids.
Okay.
So I feel like, cause like Lindsay Lohan
is almost 40 now.
She's my age. But, and I feel like she worked into her 20s, and then she has a comeback. She has a bigger comeback than just not getting work. She kind of has a comeback. She's also pregnant. Do you know that?
I did.
So I feel like, you know, like Christina Ricci, she's acting. She's working. So it's not just the child actors that we remember. It's also like some of them are still like,
they're still in
the
business.
Like all the Harry Potter kids are all still acting.
Except for Rupert Grint, I think, who was Ron Weasel.
Is he not? Weasley. Is he not?
He had done a few things, but I don't think that he's been nearly as successful, obviously, as why am I drawing a blank on Hermione?
Emma Watson.
Emma Watson, who's amazing. And Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe, I mean, because he also does a lot of theater.
He does.
And so I feel like those aren't good examples because they may never do anything that eclipses the Harry Potter series, but it doesn't mean they're not working.
True.
Actors. So I feel like this is talking about potentially people who kind of just disappeared.
One day they were there and then they were gone.
Very famous, and then all of a sudden we didn't know what happened to them when they grew up. So if you have any suggestions, 844-967-2789, what child actor would you like to see have a comeback? Do you have anyone off the top of your head?
The one I can think of is the kid from The Sixth Sense.
Haley Joel Osment.
That's who it is.
And he was in, I want to say he was in the Entourage movie.
Really?
Because he grew up to be pretty short. Like, I feel like he was in the Entourage movie, which I never saw. I think I just remember hearing that he was in it. And he was, like, he played himself, but the version of himself, and I have no idea if this is how he actually is, like a dick, because he's like short, a little heavier, not like overweight, but just like a little stockier.
Yeah.
Not very big, and like the character that he played that was himself was just like a chip in his shoulder, if I'm remembering this correctly. But yeah, I don't think he does a lot.
Yeah, he didn't go on.
But considering that he's one of the youngest actors to ever be nominated for an Oscar, and then. Really, I mean, he did Sixth Sense, AI with Steven Spielberg. He was obviously in Forrest Gump.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He was young Forrest. He was really little in that
one.
Wow. And then he never really grew up to be. You know who was the other one? The kid who was in Jerry Maguire with the glasses.
Oh.
I forgot what his name is, but he, you know, he was in that movie and a couple others.
He was a cute kid.
He was a cute kid. I think he's another one who grew up to be not as cute as an adult.
What a curse.
I know.
Especially for an actor.
But I was thinking about this because I think like, and it's hard because if you think about, I don't think Kiwi Kwan was on anyone's bingo card as, oh yeah, what happened to that guy? Because I think a lot of the, if you think of the Goonies, I mean, obviously when he was in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and as Short Round, and then he was in the Goonies as Data. And most of the guys from Goonies, I guess, him and then the guy who played Chunk, he actually called out in his Oscar speech as his Goonies brother. Because that guy's like a lawyer now. Like, he also is not acting, but he's been successful. But I was trying to think, kind of a hard topic because you forget until you get like them offered to you. A lot of them you forget. Because one thing, at least in the one that I'm looking at, this is from BuzzFeed, Jake Lloyd, who played young Anakin in the first, so I guess what's episode one.
Right.
Do you remember that kid?
No.
You don't do Star Wars?
I did. I liked the original three.
So you didn't see the...
I did see them. I remember almost nothing about them except what a bad actress Natalie Portman was.
Which is funny because she is a really good actress.
She's wonderful. She was terrible in those movies.
And also because someone who had, like, that was supposed to be his huge breakthrough was Hayden Christensen, who played older Anakin in episode 2 and 3. And that was supposed to be his big breakthrough. And he also, I think it was just the writing was really bad.
Yeah, they weren't.
Because even, I mean, they had a lot of really good actors in those three movies. And I don't know, maybe Jar Jar Binks just ruined it for the entire those three of the trilogy.
Going back to the Jerry Maguire kid, Jonathan Lipnicki.
Oh, yeah, that was his name.
Jonathan Lipnicki.
Do you see what he looks like now?
Yes. Nothing like what
Nothing
he looked like.
Nothing like how cute he was as a kid.
Not even, and he's 5'9".
Which is actually above, I think that's average. I mean, in Hollywood, 5'9", 5'10", is pretty average.
Isn't Tom Cruise a munchkin?
He's like 5'6". But yeah, 5'10 is, I think, you'd be surprised how many of the actors, like leading male actors
That'd
are like
tall.
5'10", five, like between 5'10 and 6 foot. Like 6'4 guys, which in my family is average.
Right.
Are huge. They like look enormous. Like Vince Vaughn, 6'4", looks huge. Not that he's in a lot of movies, but Conan O'Brien's like 6'4".
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that he's a giant. And Jason Momoa, I think, is like 6'4". And so 6'4 on camera, not that 6'4 is short, but it's not 6'8".
Well, that's true.
They're not basketball players.
That's true. Still pretty tall, though.
Actually, we watched this a couple weeks ago. The Edward Furlong, who was in Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah. He got into a lot of trouble.
Did he?
After Terminator 2, I think he had some trouble with the law.
I feel like a lot of the like 80s, 90s child actors got in trouble with the law. If you're just joining us, we are asking and debating what child actor deserves a comeback. 844-967-2789. Who was someone from one of your favorite movies that kind of just disappeared and never had an adult career? I'm trying to flip through. Yeah, you're right. Rupert Grint is on this list.
Yeah, Rupert.
But is it because he's choosing not to act anymore or because he can't find work?
Unknown.
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 Because like I think Macaulay Culkin, if he wanted to work, I feel like he's famous enough that he could find work, especially because his younger brother is obviously very successful with Kieran Culkin.
Yeah.
Has been very successful on Succession. And
I keep forgetting that they're brothers.
Oh, yeah. But Kieran Culkin was in All the Home Alones as like the little brother.
Oh, wow.
And as like his little brother with glasses, he didn't have a ton of lines, but he was there. And then he obviously, his big breakthrough was Igby Goes Down, which I loved in high school. It's kind of like a newer version of Catcher in the Rye.
Interesting.
Very angsty.
Oh, I guess.
But I feel like if Macaulay Culkin wanted to work, he probably could. Someone would still
hire him.
But yeah, so like Hilary Duff is on this list from BuzzFeed, and she has a show right now.
I was going to say she's never stopped working.
She's never stopped working. She's on the new reboot of How I Met Your Father, which I have not watched. I have no idea if it's good. But she's still working, so I feel like that's not a comeback.
No, she's never really stopped working.
Oh, this is an interesting one. Remember Thora Birch?
Something very dark, right?
She was in. We were talking about Hocus Pocus yesterday. She was the little girl in the original Hocus Pocus when she was young, and then she was in American Beauty.
Oh, that's where I remember the name.
And she was also in Now and Then. Do you remember that movie?
Who was in that?
Now and Then, it was the four younger girls and then the four, their versions of them as older women. So the older versions of the main characters were Rosie O'Donnell, Demi Moore, Melanie Griffith, and Rita Wilson. And the younger girls were Christina Ricci, Thora Birch. I'm forgetting the other two. I loved that movie as a kid.
It must not have been a very good movie.
Oh, well, maybe it was just made for children, but I have a feeling that now the plot line may be a little flimsy. Like, I feel like sometimes thinking about movies that I watched as a kid, like if I were to go back and watch The Babysitter's Club, I don't know if the plot line would really make a whole lot of sense.
Well, yes, but you're a munchkin.
Now and Then, it was basically these four girlfriends and like their summer, and they were being like prepubescent because Thora Birch's character, really, she stuffs her bra. There's this whole scene where there's gel, like pudding. She's been playing with different things to stuff her bra with. And she said that pudding is better than Jell-O. And like they put it in like little water balloons, and that's what she stuffs her bra with. Very impressionable, obviously. I never tried it, but it's stuck
with you. I did that once. I told you that for Halloween.
For Halloween, but you didn't do it to actually.
No.
To overcome an insecurity.
No, that is not why.
What was the Halloween costume?
It was Britney Spears in 20 years.
Oh yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, except for when I started sloshing. But anyway.
But I'm trying to think. I feel like there's more that we're missing. I do know the little girl who played Matilda. You remember Matilda? And she was also in the remake of The Miracle on 34th Street. And she was in the youngest daughter in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, sure. She quit acting.
She quit acting. And she's actually a writer now. And I think she's written a fair amount about how traumatizing being a child actor can be. And it is interesting to see the actors who, because some of the people I feel like on this list, at least the one from BuzzFeed, like Dakota Fanning's on here. She's still working.
Oh, yeah.
But she was a great child actor. And so the ability to get through being a child actor and still have a successful adult career, I think is...
That's tricky.
Tricky.
It is. It's hard.
And a fair amount of the Disney stars are able to do it. Like Zendaya was a Disney star. She seems without scandal in her life.
And pretty solid, yeah.
Miley had a period, as far as everyone was like, what's going on with her? But she's still going strong. Hilary Duff, obviously, like, still working. Didn't have many scandals in her life.
Right.
Who else is in the Disney club that grew up to be, you know, they're doing fine. Because if you think about, I have this other list up as far as like the top 30 child actors of all time. And some of them are doing fine. Like Anna Paquin, who won an Oscar.
She was
at like 11.
Yeah, she was really young.
She's still working. She's doing fine. Elijah Wood seems to be doing fine.
Yeah.
Would you consider Molly Ringwald a child actor?
She was a teenager.
I guess she was 15 when she got a Golden Globe nomination for Tempest. So she was a teenager. But some, like, I feel like Natalie Wood, she was successful as an adult, but then she obviously has a lot of mystery around her death. Macaulay Culkin had a rough time for a little while.
Yep.
Tatum O'Neill.
Had a real rough time
for a little while.
Tragically.
Drew Barrymore, who's obviously amazing now, but would also say, I mean, she was doing drugs and parties
when
and stuff
at
like
12.
She was really young.
She was at Studio 54.
It's wild. Who thought that was a cool? Who's bringing a child to Studio 54 thinking that it's a good idea? Jeez. All right. Well, when we come back, we will wrap up today's show, preview what's coming up on Dueling Tangents and the Chad Holmes Show. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Degrees. The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are wrapping up today's Tuesday show. Another reminder that tonight, Civic Media is airing the debate that is happening. I think it's already happened.
And we're doing a replay
of it, because I'm not sure the 1245 debate was aired live, but they are replaying it tonight, and you'll be able to hear the debate between Judge Janet Protasiewicz and former Supreme Court Justice, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly, the one and only debate that happened today and is airing tonight. You can hear that across the Civic Media Network at 6 p.m. tonight. And I'm sure we will have plenty of discussion about what did or did not happen tomorrow. And actually, tomorrow, Judge Janet will be here.
Yes.
She will be here at noon. And so we will talk about how she thought the debate went, how she thinks the campaign is going. If you have any questions that you would like us to ask her, you can either email them to us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us, or you can always text them to us at 844-967-2789. But she'll be here at noon tomorrow. Were you going to say something?
I'm curious about what she's hearing about on the campaign trail and what people are saying to her when she's out on the stump.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see in such partisan times how insulated you are and how often you are going to events where you have a warm reception versus a more mixed bag.
Right.
As far as, you know, just getting to talk to people. And also, I think I still am baffled by the fact that we elect judges.
You think you would prefer they be appointed?
I understand that there's huge drawbacks with that too, but it just feels like a weird thing to put into our hands as far as like understanding the judicial system and not having it just become this partisan mess where, you know, to her credit, she's being very honest about her values, but that's fairly unique in a judicial campaign because what your job is to what it's supposed to be, is to look at the law and interpret the law and for the cases in front of you, which shouldn't have anything to do with your values, right?
Yes.
But that's not, I'm just saying that's an ideal world. That's not the world we live in.
I mean, Dan Kelly may say that he's not saying out loud what his personal beliefs are, but of course he is, just by the groups that he's been representing all the...
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying she's doing it and he's not. Right. I'm just saying it's... That's why it's weird that we elect people in this, like, guise of it being nonpartisan when it is. And it's become very partisan because we elect them.
I would still prefer that over having the governor be allowed to appoint them.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
then you're really going to have a stacked court.
I mean, are you? It's only if you have the same party as the governor for a long period of time, which we haven't really had.
Well, we had 8 years of
Walker, but before that, we had a Democratic governor. It was a long time of Tommy.
Yeah, but Tommy Thompson was in office for decades.
Yeah, that's interesting. But tune in tomorrow to hear Janet Protasiewicz. And so that will be really interesting. And then big news, the creator of Veep, David Mandel, is going to be on Asgo's, Wisconsin on Thursday. It's tentatively at 1:00, but he said just leave 1:30 open in case I need to push it back.
Okay.
So in the no sour, haha, fun time power hour.
Perfect.
David Mandel, who's worked on Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, created Veep. He was the person who went last fall for the West Dems fundraiser for the mashup between The West Wing and Veep.
Right.
That was his idea. And he wrote the script.
Oh, wow.
And so he's going to be here on Thursday.
Very
cool. And so we're going to talk about his life in Hollywood, but also why he's invested and cares about Wisconsin politics. So I'm really looking forward to that on Thursday. So we'll do some more press for that. But also, just I'd be remiss not to mention that it is World Down Syndrome Day.
Today is.
As a, I have an uncle with Down syndrome. Mike has had an uncle who has Down syndrome. Someone who's volunteered with Special Olympics often in my life.
Good for you.
It is, yes, it is World Down Syndrome Day 2023. And I don't know what you're supposed to do besides just raise awareness about it.
Be kind.
It's a global awareness day, which has been officially observed by the United Nations since 2012.
Wow.
And it's always the 21st day of the third month. And it was selected to signify the uniqueness of the triplication of the 21st chromosome, which causes Down syndrome.
Wow.
But yeah.
Look
what you learned.
Also National Poetry Day.
You had less interest in talking about poems.
Yeah. I've read some poetry, but it's just not something that I'm very well-versed in, you could say.
Pun intended.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, I thought about it because we were talking over the weekend about how, did you ever have to memorize poems in high school?
Not that I remember.
So my grandmother was over for dinner and my mom and her both remembered that because we were just talking about how AI and all of the technology is making us dumber. And like some of our, like with our GPS, we don't have to remember directions.
You don't have to remember phone numbers anymore.
You don't have to remember phone numbers. You don't have to remember how to do multiplication because you can just pull out like all of this stuff. And they were reminiscing on how you had to, like in school, they used to have to memorize and recite poems and work on their memory and how we don't have to do that anymore. And so, yeah.
Can she still recite it? Maybe not.
I doubt it.
That's a big ass.
That's a big one. Because it was a long poem. It was called If by Rudyard Kipling.
Oh, my.
And it was like 1, 2, 3, 4 like
stanzas
long. It was dense.
That's hefty.
She said it this morning. I was like, this is the poem you were talking about, right? And she goes, Yeah, can you believe I at one point knew that whole thing? All right, we'll stick around for the Chad Holmes Show on WXCO. He has Mayor Rosenberg coming on at 3:15 today to talk about the anti-Semitic flyers, the Curling Nationals that were held last weekend.
Big deal.
And what kind of event does for the city. And then on Dueling Tangents, Annalise Eicher is coming on at 2 with Luke, and then Dan Schaefer is on at 2:30. Annalise and Luke are going to be talking about Godlewski news, that she is now going to, she's as of now, the Secretary of State, and also what it means for politics. And then Dan and him are going to talk about, I guess,
ABC News.